Rinse fights stubborn odors in just one wash. When impossible odors get stuck in,
rinse it out.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 12th day of November 2025. And tonight he's my trusted producer and co-host, and tad bit spunky lately. Style.
I got a lot I could talk about tonight.
All right, we'll let you do that. And she's a lot prettier than us, Style, and she's American's herbal mom, and I've known her for a long time, and I can say she is a real lady, Ms. Wendy Wilson.
Well, good evening, Pastor, and hello, Style.
Say hello, Style.
Sorry, I was manning the phone lines there for a second. How are you?
Oh.
All right.
Okay, there you go. Already, they're calling already. Oh, I hope they're not taking us down anywhere tonight, folks. that happens. I hope I'm not getting those calls. But anyhow, the message this week was gather the tares, bind them up, and cast them into the fire. And we're going to pick it up and kind of go over some of what we went over yesterday. And we had some people, there are some folks that want to hear it a second time because they want to make sure they understand it. And if Style's off the phone, I'll ask him because he's my student, but he's probably on the phone right now, so.
Just got off the phone, and it wasn't a bad call, so don't worry. It was actually talking about the new website.
Oh, great. Very good. All right, we're going to pick it up where we left off. Kind of go over a little bit of last night's. And we're in Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which soweth good seed in his field. Now, that's an interesting thing. Do you know what is unique about this verse here? And it's the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. That's found only in the Gospel of Matthew. In other places, it's the kingdom of God. But here, when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, is found in Matthew, and is found 32 times in Matthew. He goes on to say, but while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And so, we're going to take a look at who the enemy is and who the tares are. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, dost not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, the enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? Now, the servants here, in this case, are angels. They're angels. And they're asking the Lord should we not go and gather? Is it time to gather for the harvest? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Okay, Style, do you remember from last night what that meant?
I don't want to misphrase it. I don't have it all. You're going to have to remind me.
Okay. But he said, nay, and that means no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. He's making a statement that you angels, really, only God can look upon the hearts of men. Only God truly knows who's truly saved and not, okay? And that's God's call. So not even the angels can tell. They might mistake a saved person for a lost person, or a lost person for a saved, right? He says, but let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together for the tares and bind them in the bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he's telling you when the time has come, you will know. And, you know, God is going to let them know who the wheat is and who the tares are. And if I was to say today, okay, Wendy, tell me today in our society who you believe the wheat are and that who are the tares.
The wheat would be the believers and the tares would be the wicked.
Right. But in our society, there's one group of people that put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter, who are totally in opposition to whatever God's word, the Bible teaches. Not only do they have Trump derangement to send them, they have God derangement syndrome. Mm-hmm. And that is today. You have this thing with profanity, and I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing. Now, unless the Lord changes this week on this coming Sunday, what's happening in the church? Why do we see people, excuse me, many who are conservative all of a sudden using profanity? I mean, a lot of profanity. And today, and there's some in the conservative movement, it's hard because I like to use their information that they have, but because of the amount of profanity they use. And now you have these women there, they had them on Fox News the other day, that are trying to use complete sentences where every single word is a profane word, is profanity, a cuss word. I mean, this is insanity. But also, the changing of what is called a church in our society, where people don't even realize just how far they have fallen from actually what the Bible teaches from the Word of God. And I'm going to be taking a look at the reasons for some of that. One of the reasons is very, very clear, and let's see if you two might have a hint. What do you think? Do you have a hint on one of the main reasons? Well, I better just say it. You know, we've had between 45 and 50 million illegal aliens. Many of these people come in today are Buddhists, a lot of radical jihadist Muslims. They're bringing all kinds of false religions. A lot of it is the occult religions they're bringing in. Here you have, you know, voodoo, a lot of this from Somalia and these other countries, Haiti, they're bringing in, they're incorporating their false teachings and they're trying to mix it with, and you see this with a lot of your apostate churches where it's being brought in and married to the, you know, they try to marry it to Christianity, and it's, and we're going to take a good look at that, maybe a lot of evidence of that, Lord's willing, this coming week. But let's go back to where we left off. I want to jump over very quickly to Matthew chapter, or back to verse 38, Matthew 13. The field is the world. Now, because they asked Jesus to tell us this parable, the disciples said, explain the parable. He said, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. By the way, what do you think it means when he talks about the children of the kingdom? In every, on all 32 times it's used, it always refers to one thing.
Children of God?
Yeah, well, yeah, God's reign over his creation and over his redeemed. In every case, that's what it refers to. And so here, he goes on, the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And so, here, when we told you about when he talked to his servants, that's who he's referring to. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Now, that word world, aegion, is in the Greek, it's actually, aeon means, it means age. It's the end of the age. And
well, Pastor, is he's not talking yes. about, is he talking about the day of Christ or the day of the Lord here?
Now listen carefully. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall be at the end of this world, means age. And he's referring specifically to the sixth dispensation period. So what is the sixth dispensation period is what we're in right now, the church age.
Okay.
So what takes place at the end of the church age?
Rapture.
Right. The rapture, and then the 70th week of Daniel kicks in, which is what we call to the tribulation period. And so at the end of that tribulation period is when it all takes place.
Okay, so like you needing angel assistance to go up to meet the Lord in the sky, is that how I'm reading that?
No, no. Okay. What he's saying here is that at the end of the world, now we go in the beginning, and the rapture starts 7 years, you know, before, well, the end of the age. The end of the age. The rapture takes place. The end of the age comes 7 years after the start of the tribulation period. That's the 70th week of Daniel. So he's talking about the church is taken up. We're already with the Lord, taken up to heaven. And then the tares are gathered and they're burned. Well, they're placed in hell, but not in the lake of fire. That doesn't come to much later.
Okay.
And so it shall be at the end of this age, okay? So the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them, which do iniquity. That word there, iniquity, is used, it means to practice lawlessness. It means to defy God, disobedience. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What do you think that's all about? Have you ever heard people say, I'd rather go to hell, that's where my friends are?
Yeah, but it's not a pleasant place. It's torment.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that I witnessed to, and I actually had a tattoo years ago when we were young. He had a tattoo that said, better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven.
Oh,
and I
no.
says, I said, you don't believe that, do you? He said, yeah, I do. I said, you don't rule in hell, you burn. And I had to explain it to him. He was an outlaw biker, and I tried to explain it to them the way that they could understand, because a lot of these guys, their girlfriends, or in some cases their wives, were they used as prostitutes, mm-hmm. give money. And so I told him, I said, see, in hell, it's like this. The devil is the pimp, and you're the whore. And you get slapped around, okay? You had to, I try to communicate.
Yeah, and so I they says, relate to it, yeah.
Right. And I said, you don't have any friends in hell. Nobody has any friends in hell. You know, you're all in torment. When you're around people that are in pain, they're usually not very pleasant people, right?
Right.
And so he goes on to say, and shall cast them in the furnace, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let them hear. Let him hear. And he's talking about Revelation 20, chapter 22 right there.
Yeah.
And so I want to go now over to Psalm chapter 9. In Psalm chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. The Lord knoweth, is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hagion. What do you think that means, Hagion?
I don't know.
Style probably knows. What do you think, Style?
You know, it's funny, I came across that word earlier and I didn't know what it meant.
It means to think on that. And Selah, Selah means what, song. And so, the wicked shall be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Would you folks say that our nation, America, has forgotten her God?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Well, you see, there are those, a lot of times we, the remnant, we're what you would call a remnant.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the percentage of people in this land today that are saved compared to those that think they're saved. Here, like around the rest of, to much of the rest of the world, America seems like a nation that's, you know, compared to Venezuela, compared to communist China, compared to even Canada or England today, more America would be considered more morally upright. But the reality is, America has forgotten her God. She has forgotten her God. Just like, for an example, the Supreme Court just refused to hear the case on same-sex marriage again. They refused to hear it because they didn't want to have to go through that. Let me ask you this. What does God's word, the Bible, call same-sex marriage?
An abomination, I would think.
It's an abomination, but it's also called adultery and fornication. And so none of those are good, are they?
No, because none of those people are in heaven.
But America's national sin is the sin that God punished, the harshest punishment for in Scripture, is killing his children. America's national sin is killing his children. And some of us for years and years, for decades, have been crying out about stopping this. But we have, America's cold. So many, even in the church, Well, you know, you hear these people say, personally, I could never have an abortion personally, but I'm not going to condemn those that do. You just condemned yourself. You just condemned yourself. In other words, read James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. You become a friend of the world, okay? He also tells you over in Deuteronomy that when you, if you look the other way and you don't punish that, then God is going to punish you, cut you off. And so it's a wickedness there today in America. At the same time, there's little spurts of revival coming up here, coming up there, even on college campuses here in Ohio State. There are places where there's revival, but the situation in the church is not a good one, because the churches that have stuck to and are holding to the scripture, the fundamentalist churches that are holding New Testament churches without compromise, that are staying and holding fast to the traditions and teachings of Christ, and they're not gaining in population. But now that they're God is using many of them in a mighty, mighty way. But people, as we're getting here, if there's any passages in Scripture that will give you a timeline about where we're at today, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it starts out by telling you, in the last days. And there's only two places in Scripture where it refers to the days right at the end of the sixth dispensation period, just prior to the rapture of the church. And he talks about the condition of the people. And boy, America is right there. We're right there. And that would be the timeline. But anyhow, we're up against the... I'm going to go to a fast break, and then we've got a lot of other stuff to talk about, so we'll be back right after this.
And now, the end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear. And that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, he did it his way. Regrets, he's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, he did it his way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true, there was never anything that he couldn't do. By faith in him, never was any doubt. What he said, he carried out. All in all, as I recall, he did it his way. He lived suffered and died. But he arose in power and glory. In him I now abide, for history is just his story. His word is where life's at, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, no, not me. He did it his way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way.
Yep, his way was much better than Frank Sinatra's, I can tell you that, right? And did you know, Wendy, I wrote that song?
I'm going to believe you.
You knew right away that that was me and not Frank Sinatra, didn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. I wonder if Frank heard that before he passed away. Hopefully he wouldn't. Well, yeah, I don't either. And so, anyhow, I liked the lyrics were much better than Frank's. Now, I got a couple announcements to make. You ready?
I'm ready.
Folks, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you because the cause is a righteous cause. The cause is a righteous cause. And that is this, that on December 7th at 7 p.m., the Chester Christian Center is hosting the Geauga County Right to Life Christmas Concert. Every year they host that. And Pastor Steve Sawchuk over there and all those good folks at that church, they put on a tremendous Christmas concert to raise money so that this old preacher can continue, him and my staff, to save babies. And we work very, very hard for over half a century to save babies from a cruel and horrible death. And so what I want you folks to do is, and here in Northeast Ohio, Lake, Geauga, Ashtabula, Lorain counties, is come out to this and get a blessing. Receive a blessing. Show up and receive a blessing because the concert is a blessing. There's no admission. We take up an offering. And so come be blessed and be a blessing. Now, I'm asking you not only just to come and join us at 7 p.m., and the address is 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306. It's about 1 mile north of Route 322, or about 3 miles south of Route 6 on Route 306. And so the phone number of the church for if you have questions is 440-729-6203. 440-729-6203. So we really need to do that. You know, and I'll tell you why, because I've watched how these folks spend so much time putting on this concert, the work they put into it. And then I look out there for 45 years, Wendy and Style. I was out on the streets in front of those abortion. 45 years, Mills, preaching Heaven Sweet Hell Hot. We had some exciting times out there, I can tell you. But anyhow, and I'm not doing that nowadays. We have some of the others, but even the younger folks that took over for me, they're not so young anymore. And anyhow, so we need more younger people to come out and stand with them. Our church is called Doers of the Word, and we are doers of the Word. We have been doers of the Word. I would say we're, where it comes to the Christian community, we're like the special forces side of it. We did the hard things. We ran to the battle. We fought. We did without complaining. We ran. We fought. I ended up in jail, never for doing anything, breaking the law, but for being obedient to God, for preaching the gospel to those that didn't want to hear it time and time again, and for exposing those in the police and the judicial system, the courts, those that were corrupt and taking money and bribes and stuff. And, you know, we went after them. I exposed them, and they had to duck for cover. But in the process, I would end up myself doing the jail ministry from both sides of the bars. But it was exciting, folks. And again, I don't regret one single day of it. I ran a good race, fought a good fight out there on those streets, and we're going to continue. But we need your help, because the cause is a righteous cause. So come on out and stand with us. The other thing I want to ask you to do very quickly is this. Because of Thanksgiving this month here, I have to pay the rent, if you might swell the radio bill, 2 days earlier than normal. And so if those of you out there, if you were planning on helping us again this month to stay on your station, because we have to be a couple of days early, if you would, if it's not too much to ask, if it's not too much of a burden, if you could donate, if you were going to donate as early as possible, I would certainly really appreciate it. And so, and I thank you. So, Wendy, with that, what do you have for us tonight?
Well, we got some, scientific creations going on at the University of Nottingham in the UK. This is November 2025 report. They published some research on what they describe as a new enamel gel for replacing your dentin enamel on your teeth. So tooth enamel replacement gel is what they want to come out with. And it's described as a bio-inspired technology product. According to the research, it's a combination of calcium ions and a supramolecule protein. They use this to encourage, they say, growth of new enamel, creating a mineral layer on your teeth. It sounds kind of promising, doesn't it, Pastor?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a dark side to this.
There usually is.
Yeah. Well, let's look at how this gel is made. This research did get published in the November 2025 Journal of Nature Communications. So they used this protein-based material, and then they added calcium ions to it, supposedly to match as close as possible to natural tooth minerals to build enamel. So new tooth enamel should then, they say, grow on the surface of the tooth. Notice they say should grow. They don't know if it will. They call this enamel growing process the epitaxial mineralization, and depending on how much gel you use, how much you apply, the thickness of the gel, for instance, that will affect the mineral layer formation. So this is called a hierarchical layer, if you will, and the report does also state that further research needs to happen before the product does get approved and released to the market. So at this writing, they have really no side effects that they're reporting because research has not progressed yet from the lab experimental stage to a clinical trial stage. Now, the researchers believe this product will have potential for other applications, and they say it doesn't contain any fluoride. Here's a couple of quotes from the report, University of Nottingham. They say the possibilities could extend to the repair of exposed dentin and reduce sensitivity, reinforce existing enamel, and help prevent future decay. Early testing shows it performs like natural enamel. They also add the gel forms as a thin yet durable layer that seeps into the surface of your teeth. Now, remember I just said that because it's going to be important coming up. And it seeps in to the teeth, filling in the tiny cracks and holes, and then it acts as a scaffolding that captures calcium and phosphate ions from saliva. The minerals are carefully organized into new enamel through a process known as epitaxial mineralization, and this allows the regenerated enamel to integrate seamlessly with your existing tooth structure, restoring both strength and appearance. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it, Pastor?
But sounds good.
Yeah, it does sound good. Well, let's just talk about understanding our teeth for a minute. This is going to be important. So how the teeth are made is important to know. So there are different layers, and often mentioned is the outer enamel layer on the top of the tooth, and beneath that is the dentin layer. Even though the two layers connect, they have separate functions, and the enamel should not invade or intertwine with the dentin. So the dentin forms the bulk of the tooth, extending from beneath the enamel to the root itself, where it is covered by sustentium, and the sustentium is a hard calcified tissue composed of collagen fibers and protoglycans, if I say that right, which help to attach the periodontal ligaments of your teeth. It holds the tooth in place. So if the enamel layer were to compromise the dentin layer, this is what science says will occur. The tooth becomes sensitive to hot and cold temperatures, and the tooth becomes sensitive to sweet things or sugary foods, and also it decays. So it almost sounds like, you know, you need a root canal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The nerve is affected, apparently. So what's happening is the dentin has what is called tubules that connect to the tooth's nerves and also helps to transmit sensations such as your temperature and your pressure. So the tubules are also, they carry nutrients and fluids from the pulp of the tooth, which helps support and protect the dentin, and it can also alert you to a potential dental issue through sensitivity. Now, an invasion of enamel into the dentin can lead to further decay, pain, and potentially damage the pulp, the innermost part of the tooth. So let's talk about this enamel top coat that they want to sell you. According to the research on their enamel gel at the University of Nottingham, it's applied, the applied top coat will seep into the surface of the tooth, fill cracks and holes using calcium and phosphate ions from the human saliva. Though the process is called epitaxial mineralization, the minerals organize to create the enamel. And this is supposed to integrate with the existing tooth structure, giving the tooth strength and a healthy appearance. But here's the research where it mentions using the gel on exposed dentin. They say use it there. Now, they just don't know if the gel will remain on top and not seep into the dentin cavities, causing disruption of the tooth. Here's another quote from the research. The minerals can also be used on exposed dentin, creating enamel-like coatings that help reduce tooth sensitivity and improves how restoration, such as fillings and veneers, bond to the tooth surface. So I just really cringe at this gel, you know, just really, creating a top enamel, but if it really messes with the dentin layer, we're in a world of hurt. So this is what
it kind of sounds. It kind of sounds like the big pharma commercials that you see on where they're telling you they're pushing a drug And the side effects of the drug, all of them are much worse than the ailment they're trying to treat.
Exactly, yeah. So how are they going to market this gel? Well, the research so far is incomplete, but the researchers are confident that the product will be approved and sold internationally. The researchers refer to their invention as self-healing teeth. Here's a quote from one of the researchers, Professor Alvario Matta, Chair, Biomedical Engineering and Biomaterials, University of Nottingham. He says, we have started this process with our startup company, MinTech Bio, and hope to have a first product out by next year. This innovation could soon be helping patients worldwide. So I really hope people start thinking this through, because you're kind of hoping they've done their homework and you know, crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's. So it would appear that their enamel gel is kind of springboarding off of the natural elements of the mouth. So this is calcium and phosphate ion thing from saliva. That's what they're springboarding off of. And that can help restore enamel. But based on the information, we could use just a plant-based calcium and apply that to the top of the teeth and accomplish kind of the same thing without risking the dentin. So we can do that. And I think to use a combination of calcium-rich plants or herbs, because they also have the boron and magnesium for the body to use the calcium properly, that's really much where I would go. Some of my choices for herbs with the calcium, boron, and magnesium already in them would be horsetail, lobelia, oat straw, and comfrey root, but you wouldn't use it long-term. You would just use it, you know, for a few weeks and then take a break. So I just don't think they think of all the angles sometimes in this research, and it can be risky. You know, because a lot of people have receding gum lines, Pastor, and they're going to be sticking that stuff down there close to the pulp, the nerves, and all that.
Let me ask you a question. You know, you often hear people's teeth referred to as, when he smiled, you could see those bright ivories, okay? What are teeth made of? I know they're not bone. What are they made out of?
Well, they're made out of minerals. They're made out of minerals, just like your bones are made out of minerals. They are a type of bone. They're just layered differently with different material. So, yeah, I know what you're talking about. When you're getting a picture taken, the photographer will say, show me your pearly whites, you know, and you see old smile. But, you know, different dentin, I don't know if dentists ever told you this, but everybody doesn't have the same colored teeth, and it doesn't have to mean that they're smokers or they're eating a lot of blueberry pie. It's just that people have naturally different colors to their teeth. Some will have a, you know, yellow tone to them. Others may have a more whitish gray tone to them. So they're not always white. And a lot of people have gotten into trouble with those whitening gels. Remember when they came out, what, about 10, 15 years ago? You would go to the drugstore or the grocery store, and it was like a box, and in it was a tray where you would, almost like a temporary bite guard, and you would fill the tray with this whitening gel, and you would, you know, wear it for a period of time. People have gotten tooth infections from that.
Well, I know a lady who's a wonderful lady. She's very pretty, but she had yellow teeth. That her teeth were just like you said, that they were just yellow. She didn't smoke. And she brushed her teeth all the time, but they were just plain yellow. And she, for some reason, could not, was not able to take some of those treatments they had to whiten the teeth.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, Pastor, but some people that are just obsessed with tooth whitening, they go to the dentist, and if you get too many, your enamel looks opaque. It's creepy.
Yeah.
It's really creepy. Plus, you know what? The Egyptians, the ancients, they used a bunch of herbs to naturally bring out the natural luster of their teeth. Not everybody had the same whiteness. So whatever the color of your dentin was in your tooth enamel was would shine through and help remove stains. So we actually make a formula. It's called it's our mouth cleanse formula. And you don't swallow it. You just, you know, kind of swish with it and spit. But it helps bring out the pretty natural dentin in your teeth. Enamel shines, yeah.
I have your toothache. I have your toothache.
Yeah,
you
have the tooth and gum. There's the tooth and gum. We have the toothache, and then we have the oral mouth cleanse. So they are up on our website and in our catalog under our oral health area. Because it's right. A lot of the ancient formulas are really great to have. So there's myrrh oil in that particular formula, the mouth cleanse.
Hmm.
You know, myrrh was a big deal in the Bible. They would use myrrh a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got some options there. We also make a calcium liquid, which you can swallow, but I have used that. If you don't have a really big cavity, it's just one that's starting, I've actually dripped that on a tooth, you know, at night. You know, after you've brushed and flossed and you drip it on, then go to bed. And it helped the tooth repair that breach in the dentin. If you get a big crater, it's not going to work. But the small beginning cavities, it's able to fix it.
Well, very good. You always have a lot of interesting information. Tell the folks how they can get your catalog.
Well, they can actually go up on our website at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com and they can click on books and newsletters, and they can also find the catalog on that page as well as on the homepage. And it's absolutely free. Or you can just call the toll-free number at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and ask for one. They're absolutely free. And I think we sent you one, Pastor. Did you get it?
Yep, I certainly did.
Okay.
And I thank you very much, young lady.
Well, you're so very welcome. Yep.
Well, we're going to switch gears now and hit some things. Like today, they opened the government. They shut down the Schumer shutdown today. And here, people expected Trump to kind of gloat a little bit, but he didn't. He was angry. He came out and he said they did this, all of what they went through, was for nothing. It turned out to be a big, big loss for the Democrats. It really backfired on them big time.
Well, I heard one commentator today say that they think the Democrats their motivation may have been to take the spotlight off of all the violence happening in a lot of these cities with ICE and things like that. I think that,
well,
you know.
Actually, they want that. They want the spotlight on there, on ICE.
Okay.
But, you know, 80% of those on the SNAP program are able to work. Did you know that? 80% of those that are...
I heard it was a big number, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it 944,000, something like that?
Yeah. Many are collecting food stamps in several different states, blue states. In other words, they might be, you know, go from one blue state to another blue state. And it's easy to do. And so they're collecting food stamps.
Yeah, I heard one guy had signed up in four different states, and so he was getting checks from four different states.
Yeah. And here, some of these people, they're doing that, and they're selling the food stamps. And so
I don't know how you do that. I mean, don't you have to, like, present, you know, that you have an address and you've lived there at least 6 months, you know, before you can apply for anything like that?
I don't think so. In the blue states, you know, they're welfare states. You can get away with that. Apparently they are, okay? And so here they found out that there was a huge amount of illegal aliens receiving, not only were they receiving SNAP, the food stamps, but also they were receiving health care that a lot of our blue-collar workers couldn't afford, couldn't receive.
Were any of the illegals getting Social Security?
I don't know. I, you know what? I did hear that there were some. Yeah, in fact, I did hear that there was one that was arrested for getting Social Security a while back.
Because I have one customer that lives in the Midwest, and she, you know, her husband worked, and she took care of house and home, kids and everything. And so when she filed for Social Security, they told her she didn't have enough money paid in and was denied. But wow. They were giving it to illegal aliens?
Oh, yeah. The Democrats, who they are furious at those that voted to end the shutdown. They're, you know, they're really coming out there, that, you know, the what they call the aggressive, the progressives. They're really coming after those that voted, the Democrats that crossed over and voted to end the shutdown. And then they turned right around and they said that the Republicans were keeping the needy from getting food. They're out there. They come right after they say this. And then they said, this was after voting 14 times to keep the government shut down and to keep the people from getting their food and all of the other the misery they caused. They're blaming the Republicans. How dumb is that?
Well,
how dumb? I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, but, you know, are we surprised?
Yeah.
Not surprised at all. I mean, people who are awake, they expect to hear that stuff because it's so out there. It's ridiculous.
Do you know that America spends twice as much on health care as the next closest country to us? We spend twice as much on any other country.
Do you know why our health care is so expensive?
Yeah. One of the things is Big Pharma. The other thing is the insurance companies.
Right.
But
yeah, so basically in the 40s and 50s, before you had a lot of this insurance, health insurance, doctors made, you know, a middle income, you know, like 40,000. And you could go to the doctor and pay for the visit out of your pocket. And here, this will drive it home for you. You can go to the hospital, get a treatment, and if they think that you have insurance, maybe you're in the system, maybe an old information, but that's what happened to me when I had a leg injury. They pulled up some old insurance that I had prior to Obama's era, and they sent my old insurance and me a copy of the bill, and I called them up, and I mean it was just a deep hematoma is what I really had, and
well,
they fixed it with a little lance and bleeding out some blood out of the deep bruise and then putting a Band-Aid on it. It was $8,000.
Well, we're up against a hard break right now. So
well, I just want to say, when I told him I was self-pay, that bill went to $4,000. So there's your proof it's about insurance.
Yeah, there's a whole story we can do on that and how some of these insurance companies work with the health care provider and how things work back and forth. Anyhow, we're coming up to a fast break. Hang on, Wendy, and you can stay with us for just a few more minutes. So we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Right now, the infamous count is taking place. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance.
Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
You know that big bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right? It doesn't clean as well.
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Oh, let me make an announcement.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Stop paying for watered-down detergents. Pay for clean. If it's gotta be clean, it's gotta be Tide Pods. Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.